time you're riding down the road in your car, sing this to the Lord. You'll get where you're going much faster. Come. Let us.
Come, let us adore Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Worship and adore Him.
Worship and adore Him.
Come on, say it again. Come.
Come.
Let us.
Come, let us adore Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Kneel down before Him.
In your presence, Lord, worship.
Worship and adore Him.
Help me say,
Emmanuel.
Come on and say, Emmanuel. When praises go up, blessings come down.
We worship You.
I dare you learn to praise Him even in the midst of a trial. Come.
Come.
Let us.
Come, let us adore Him.
No matter what's going on in your life, you got to know how to give Him a sacrifice of praise. Now, I know you know the song by now. Come. Let us adore Him.
Come, let us adore Him.
Thank you. Kneel down before Him.
Kneel down before Him.
He's the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Worship and adore Him.
Come on, say Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
I like that. Emmanuel. He's my Savior. Yes,
we worship You.
Come on, let me see some hands. We worship Him.
We worship You.
We're here today to speak on the triumphal entry. But before we begin that, I want to talk about COVID-19. COVID-19 is a wake-up call and an enlightenment. It is a revealer of our heart condition. To whom will we turn in time of need? Will it be Christ indeed? His warnings will we heed? With Him will we pray and plead? Is He your number one priority or your last resort? Who have you put as number one during this life's crisis? Are you prepared? Are you ready to make a triumphal entry into the portals of heaven, into His presence? Do you find yourself reacting impulsively, allowing the worldly and carnal stimuli in order to make your decisions? Or are you responding, what would Jesus do? Will you be found walking in the divine love nature and character of Christ? We must perceive with a vision, seeing past the struggle, knowing God is doing a good works in you. Refer to Romans 8:28, 29. The Word of God says we must perceive with a vision lest we perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life." We must believe that Jesus Christ is the great I Am, the God who can do abundantly and exceedingly beyond what we can ever apprehend or comprehend. In the struggle, in this wilderness journey, in the crucible of life, in the fiery furnace of life, is where we are purified and refined as pure silver and gold for Christ to behold. This is where he shows up on the scene as the God of the impossible, the God who specializes in the supernatural. He is a wonder-working, miracle-making God that will lead us to the expected end. He's a God of agape, unconditional love. We must conceive, travailing as in childbirth, birthing the newness of Christ within. We must reach out and receive the free gift of salvation, which brings divine revelation and enlightenment in order to achieve what God has divinely purposed for us. This will require separation, which is where we come into a state of consecration, where we are brought into a state of sanctification, which is daily cleansing and purification through the regeneration and the washing of the Word. It is where we become rare, peculiar, strange, and set apart, meet for the Master's use. This is where we undergo daily preparation, seeking the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, in order that all things might be added unto us. We also undergo reparation, which is healing of our broken, wounded, contrite heart for God's glorification. 1 Peter 5:12 to 13 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." All things are divinely purposed in Christ. A very important promise of God is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." In time of trouble, we must stay our mind on Christ in order to be kept in perfect peace. We must think on things above, for Christ in end times will bestow his goodness, his richness, his vastness, and his fullness upon you. He is your divine protector, shield, and refuge, a bulwark never failing. Make Psalm 91 a daily devotional. "For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Meditate on Psalm 51:10, which says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." If you are in Christ, you're a winner either way, whether you live or whether you die, whether you go or whether you stay. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will be found in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, no more pain, suffering, or sorrow, but peace in the morrow. We choose absence, which is eternal damnation, or we choose to be in his presence, where divine glory lives and reigns, where there is peace, solitude, tranquility, and serenity. What have you been making as your number one priority during this shelter in place? Have you made him your shelter, your fortress, and your refuge? I made a COVID-19 acrostic: Christ, obedient victory over all infectious diseases. Number one equals unity, which is alliance in oneness in Christ. Number nine equals fruit of the Spirit, completeness in the Lord. Number 19, together, equals faith, placing wholehearted faith, trust, belief, and hope in Christ. The worst disease in which we were born is the leprosy of sin. We must rise up and resurrect out of this entombment of sin. There must be no doubt, fear, worry, or anxiety, for these cancel faith. We must not be caught up in self-pity or found wallowing in self-pity, for we will be swallowed up in sin. We will take a plummet into the abyss, no longer rising to the summit. making a triumphal entry into heaven. For this is where we must go in order to hear Christ say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What is your heart condition? God reads every motive and intent of the heart. Will you be found a fit vessel, meet for the Master's use? Arise, go forth and do. Speak the word that others might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now listen to A Vessel Fit, a poem by Raymond Carlton, our brother in Christ. A vessel fit for the Master's use makes no demands nor vain excuse, but yields without air's sore complaint for the Master's wise and good constraint. If it be upon the shelf, the vessel is not for itself, but for the use of the Master's hand awaits the purpose of command. Gold and silver, earth and clay, the Master chooses his own way to find a vessel for his need, a one that would his work exceed. Whate'er the Master would fulfill in choosing that for his own will, the vessel should not e'er decide, but in the Master's care abide. How pure and perfect is the peace, the fruits of faith and prayer increase, the vessels of the Master's own shall glory round his righteous throne. Thank you, Brother Ray Carlton. I made an acrostic for triumphal entry. For soon the eastern sky shall glow in raptured glory. We shall go, all gathered from the ends of earth, now vessels fit for heaven's mirth. Those were the two of the final lines of Ray's poem. An acrostic of triumphal entry. Our true Redeemer inspired and unified unto the master plan of salvation through heartfelt anointing of love. An eternal necessity to be our true redeeming yoke fellow. As Jesus Christ began his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, it all began with humility. The Messiah came riding in the city on a donkey. Mark 11:2-3 reads, and saith unto him, "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, 'Why do ye do this?' say ye, 'The Lord have need of him,' and straightway he will send him hither." These two verses point out the omniscience of Christ, that he is all-knowing. It also points out that we must put God's claims first. It lets us know that we are friends of Christ, that God's word is sure, and that we must be obedient unto Christ. The colt was leashed, unleashed, and released. Just as Christ had a need of the donkey, we have the need of Christ. We were once leashed to the hitching post of sin, and through a repentant heart, we were unleashed and released from sin through the redeeming and atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, through his agape unconditional love and his faithfulness unto us through obedience to God's will, that the master plan of salvation would come through his life, death, burial, resurrection, and hope. The triumphal entry was not deemed to be what it seemed to be, for the onlookers were seeing an earthly king that would rise. But in reality, the divine master plan of salvation was about to be unveiled. He would become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Savior of the people. This would require the triumphal entry that would lead to the crucifixion and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to the descension of Jesus into hell to fight the battle for the keys to the kingdom and conquer sin, death, and the grave upon presenting the keys to the Father and applying the blood to the mercy seat in heaven. This was when the victory was won. This victory required a blemished, sin-free, living sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This was the pattern set for salvation. We must die to sin daily through self-denial, becoming selfless instead of selfish. Christ won the victory over death. We must die a sacrificial death daily, choosing to die to sin, walking not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We must be buried with Christ daily so that we might resurrect and walk in the newness of life. The way we overcome the grave is through acceptance of Jesus Christ as one's Lord and Savior. Our soul and spirit rises up on physical death and returns to God in heaven. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The triumphal entry set a pattern for salvation. We must die to sin daily through self-denial, becoming selfless instead of selfish. Christ won the victory over death. We must have peace in the valley. We must stay our mind on Christ to be kept in perfect peace. Christ teaches us focus through chaos. Everyone will have to undergo struggles and wilderness journeys. We are now embarking on a wilderness journey called the coronavirus struggle. We must now turn our eyes upon Jesus, looking full into his wonderful face. Then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his wonder and grace. Reach out to embrace his grace, his unconditional love, which is his unlimited forgiveness and his long-suffering, forbearing compassion. Christ was the passion. He came to serve us in passionate pursuit of Christ. He freely gave his life that us he might save. He died and rose again, fulfilling the divine master plan of salvation that we might be saved from eternal damnation. God's love means giving. Remember while you're undergoing struggles that you must not react impulsively, allowing the worldly and the carnality to take you down, but instead let his grace abound. Respond. What would Jesus do? So that the onlookers will see Jesus in you. Let there be peace in the valley. God's love gives without any expectation or return. The donkey tied to the post revealed to us God's impartation of benevolence to human hearts. It is God's gift that seeds the gift of benevolence in the human heart. It is the love and compassion of God shed abroad in human hearts. God's grace is sufficient to meet our every need. He touches the heart of the benevolent to give to those in need. God is touching benevolent hearts through this tedious journey we are on. Christ kept God's will forever in his heart and mind, and upon the frontlets of his eyes. He will never fall to temptation. Temptation came, but he did not partake. He stayed his mind on the Father's will until the very end. This was the pattern set before us. Obedience is the best sacrifice because it's evidence to the world that the love of God and our will to keep his commandments via obedience. In order to make a triumphal entry, we are the bride and Christ is the bridegroom. We must roll out the red carpet, walking down the aisle on the concourse of life, dropping rose petals of virtue, which is his divine love nature and character, that will take us to the portals of heaven where Jesus Christ's outstretched arms will reach out to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Admission or exclusion? Will you have a triumphal entry? Psalm 24:3-4 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Let there be peace in the valley over you. Leave behind no unfinished task. Prepare ye the way of the Lord until we meet again next Sunday at 4 p.m.
Crown you now, King David, crown you now.
our hands together and worship the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb.
Of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy!" The angels there. He carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. Then I said, "Take me to Jesus."